Making Chicken Salad this week is brought to you by Three Count Pro Wrestling Academy. Are you in Brisbane and thought about learning to be a wrestler? Well, here's your chance. Three Count Pro Wrestling Academy are based out of Beenleigh in Queensland, and they're committed to teaching the best, safest way to learn the art of professional wrestling. Hit up their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or email admin@threecountfitness.com now to register your interest. And we thank them so much for supporting the show.
Here I was blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit. And you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Welcome everyone to Making Chicken Salad, a WRA wrestling podcast. We normally talk about international wrestling on these things, but oftentimes we move off and we review Australian wrestling shows, because some of these shows are the best shows that you will see around the world. I know I'm being quite biased when I say that, but I think it's an actual fact. You can probably tell I am not Lachlan Albert. He is in ISO at the moment. But I hear nowadays in wrestling, when somebody's out for even a couple of days, we need an interim person. We need something to do for the interim. So what I did is I found myself a cracker of a co-host for an interim co-host. It is Steve from Going Over Wrestling on Instagram. Steve, mate, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Todd. I'm really happy to be here to discuss PWA. Welcome to the Black Label Parade. And yeah, really happy that you're having me. Thank you.
No, he's well. I'm very happy for you to come on. We've been talking on and off, like online for a while, about finding a right time to have you come on. So this was sort of like, I don't want to say perfect time because Paul Lachlan, but it was kind of perfect time to have you on. Overall, did you watch the show live or did you?
I didn't. I had prior commitments. Unfortunately, I would have liked to have attended the show because I do live south of Sydney, but. Yeah, I have watched it a couple of times since, and yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about it with you.
Awesome. Let's get right into it. First match was the main event from Worlds Collide, MCW. So talk about setting yourself a high bar. It was Adam Brooks and Ricky South. Adam Brooks, of course, winning that match with help from Carter Deems and a good old-fashioned chain, mate. Look, personally, I love the change in psychology with Brooks playing the heel, but because he was in Sydney for the time. And I love Ricky Seinfeld gear. If you're a fan of Seinfeld and you picked that up, it was great. Also, after the match, Brooks rubbing it in was pulling Ricky South up, running flog across his thing and the lipstick and all of that stuff. So that is obviously going to continue in some way, shape or form. And also Carter Deems attacking South with a chair after it means that looks like Carter Deems is the guy that's going to be challenging for that or attempting the challenge for that PWA title coming down the road. First of all, what did you think of the match, mate?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm a huge Seinfeld fan. So straight away, mark out for Ricky's trunks. But yeah, both incredibly talented wrestlers with Brooksy working to the crowd really well, playing up to them and getting some nice heat. Ricky being the hometown hero, showing some really strong aggression and his hard-hitting style was really effective. Also, really impressed with Ricky and his huge power moves, throwing Brooksy around the ring like nothing. I thought it was a great match overall. That end sequence was really, really good with the nasty springboard DDT on the ring apron. That made me cringe. that also massive codebreaker from the top rope. And Brooksy going for the chain towards the end with Hannah stopping him, and then that big lariat to a pile driver. Yeah, I thought those two just had great chemistry together, and it was like a really traditional hard-hitting style that you might see in a Japan match as well. But yeah, great match.
But people don't realize, and I say this often, you don't realize how big a guy Ricky South is until you're next to him, or you see him next to a guy that you've seen a lot of times, like Ricky, like Brooksy. I know the first time I'd met him, I was like, holy shit, he is really big. Like, same with, he's like Mark Davis. You don't realize how big Mark Davis is as a human until you're standing next to him. You're like, holy hell. So, yeah, the power moves that he has now and the way he seems to just throw people around with fair amount of ease is really good to see. I I think they played to what they were supposed to play to in the card, where they couldn't go out there and be like balls to the wall, even though they went really, really hard. They couldn't be balls to the wall because they were the opening match of the show. They didn't want to blow everybody away. So they just did what they had to do. They got their job done. And I think they really, really got the show off to a cracking start.
Yeah, definitely. And also the after-match beatdown definitely got some heat going with Ricky getting beat down by Carter. And then the separate interference as well, getting hit by the steel chair. And also, yeah, Brooksy getting him down and riding the flog on his forehead with the lipstick. Poor Ricky. But yeah, I thought it was a great opener and a really hot way to kick off the show.
Mm. It's also amazing to see the way that like Carter Deems is sort of slowly stepping out of that Wahlberg shadow, where he's becoming his own, like he's no longer like Wahlberg's partner. He's like Carter Deems now, if you know what I mean. He's really sort of putting some respect on his name.
Yeah.
After that, we had the Goober Report, which I suppose was a good way to sort of break the show up a bit from what that heavy match was at the start of the show into going into the rest of this program. Cherry and Will Kiedis, they were great here. I love their character work. Cherry's character work is amazing. Will Kiedis, especially with like the way they were probably throwing a real curveball with the fact that Ando isn't around anymore. Don Manel is retired from pro wrestling. I think he said on there that what's his name was out as well, not doing anything anymore. Oh God, now I've forgotten his name. See, Lachlan nearly fills me in. Anyway, I'm going to move on. So he moved into that role of like, well, I guess I'm going to be the guy now for a while. So this is what it is. I love their work here. His work with the crowd when they had that one guy trying to heckle him, well, like just shutting him down was so good, because sometimes they can throw you off when they start saying that stuff. And to be able to just roll with it and be quick with it like that, I thought was really good. He ended up giving her a present, which ended up being a personal ref shirt. So it looks like for the time being, Cherry is his personal referee. And he had a match against the Green Dingo, Tommy D, who didn't do a bad job either. They did a couple of good spots where he had him in that crucifix. He had Will in that crucifix, and Cherry was trying to count the three, and Will was yelling at her not to count it. And that whole, just the character work through this whole thing, I really, really enjoyed. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a fun little filler match after the intense opener. We didn't see much of D, but Kiedis is a reliable mid-card heel, and the potential to showcase Cherry's charisma in this story should be a lot of fun for this duo as well. So, yeah, I enjoyed it for what it was.
Mm. See, Cherry, the thing about Cherry is she doesn't really have to do much, and the crowd are already like behind her. That she's got that that charisma that is hard to get, and it doesn't take her too much, and the crowd just start chanting her name and doing all that sort of stuff, and she plays into it really well, where she acknowledges the crowd but doesn't acknowledge the crowd because she knows that will get Will angry if she did that. So just so very well done, I thought. Moving on from that, we had the first thing that was a bit, in my opinion, off for this show was the Robbie Eagles promo. And that's not to say that Robbie Eagles promo was off. It was more the issue with the sound for the promos that were pre-recorded. There was sort of like just a little bit out of sync. It was only by like maybe a half second, but it was enough that threw you off, in my opinion anyway. What did you think, mate?
Yeah, I thought it was a decent promo, like in terms of what he was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. The production and the sound quality kind of came across as a bit, you know, a bit of a setback. But they made up for it later on the match.
Yeah, which is unusual for PWA, because they are well renowned for their production. So it must have been some sort of glitch that happened there. And of course, it's like live TV. What do you do? So, I mean, they did the best they could. And like I said, it was a fine promo. It was the little thing that threw me off. That's all it was. After that, we went to Caveman Ugg defeating Kai Drake and Jimmy Townsend in a three-way match. I mean, everyone knows how good Caveman Ugg is. I think Kai Drake personally is a guy that just needs a showcase match to set him off. I think he's got all the skill. He's got all the talent. He's got such a good character now that he sort of defined himself as like the dragon sort of deal. I really do enjoy it. And like I said, he just needs that one big victory, that one breakout win, that one breakout performance to really set himself apart from where he's been in the past. Jimmy Townsend, though, I think is still sort of struggling to find his place. I know they're trying to tell that as a story, but I think it's more reality mimicking what a story is, to be honest with you. I don't know if that's your opinion as well, but like I said, Caveman Ugg always.
Yeah, this match kind of felt a bit dissatisfied, I'm going to be honest. Ugg is an insanely talented athlete, as we all know, and he showed that off in the early parts of the match with that beautiful senton combination. But it felt kind of flat overall with the trio. Just didn't have the right chemistry. I don't know what it was. Maybe something felt a bit off, or maybe it was a bit rushed. I don't know. I'm trying to find the moments that stand out in the match, and all three men are great in their own ways. But yeah, it wasn't my cup of tea. It was a decent match, but yeah, I just thought Caveman Ugg, considering all the great matches I've seen him in, it just seemed a bit off for the night. But yeah, he's just on another level.
Yeah. But like I said, I think I'm a massive fan of Kai Drake, and I want to see him have that breakout performance. I was really hoping that this was going to be it. So I thought if he can get a win, even if he's not pinning Caveman Ugg, if he pins Jimmy in this match, that's still something he can say. I beat Caveman Ugg, even though it's a three-way, and it's a perfect thing for a heel to be able to say, I beat him, even though he wasn't involved in the pinball or any of that. Unfortunately, it wasn't to be. Caveman, of course, going over. But like I said, I'm really a big fan of Kai's. I want to see him do more.
Nothing against Jimmy, but I would have probably rather having seen Caveman versus Kai Drake in a one-on-one match where they just go off on a power battle against each other and just big power moves, you know.
I think the hard thing with that is that they've basically just turned Caveman heel, so they have him up against another heel. I don't think they could have, especially since the crowd are probably more inclined to cheer Caveman, which would throw that whole thing that they've been working with down the drain for the last couple of months.
And the commentators are doing a good job as well, trying to say that he's a traitor and he's MCW now and he's not PWA.
That commentary team, they are, I mean, we are very lucky, I think, in Australia where there's not too many bad commentary teams when you're looking at the bigger promotions around the country that they're putting their stuff on streaming. There are none of them that really annoy me. Like, do you know how you can watch WWE and they'll annoy you somewhat, and sometimes like AEW can annoy you like commentary wise. I don't find any of that with the commentary teams around the country. The EPW guys are really good. Sean and Paul in Riot City Wrestling are really good. You've got there's a new team now that haven't actually debuted yet for MCW, so we'll see what that is when it comes up. And the guys from Sydney, they're just, I think they are probably the best commentary team now in the country because they've had that time to work as a team and to do so many live shows together. That just builds that chemistry, which helps them tell a story, which also helps the show as a whole. The next match we had here was supposed to be Jessica Troy and Unsocial Jordan. Unfortunately, with the unprecedented times that we live in, poor Unsocial Jordan had to be in ISO, so that match could not happen. Instead, we got Jessica Troy defeating SMS by a double armbar. So what did you think of this match, mate? Now, off the record, Jessica Troy is probably my favourite wrestler in the country at the moment, so anything I say will be unbelievably biased. So you go, mate.
Yeah, look, you're not wrong. It was a very short match that seems like it was put together very last minute with current circumstances, which is totally fair. Mm-hmm. it put Troy over even more. Not that she needs it.
No.
She's one of the most popular and brightest wrestlers in the country right now. And she's got such a big future ahead of her. It also hypes up the number one contenders match even more now, because we're waiting and waiting. And we're presumably going to happen when Unsocial Jordan is ready to go again. Yeah, I thought it was a nice little squash match between one and two.
Yeah, that's the only thing I think I would pick on that is to say that it really didn't do much for SMS as a group, where as good as Jess is, she still sort of like demolished two of them, sort of like that. Whereas, like, I would have liked to have been seen maybe a bit more of a struggle before she eventually got her comeuppance, sort of thing. But yeah, best in the country in my opinion. So I can't really push that much onto it. Next after that, we had what possibly was, well, it was one of the three matches of the night. I mean, it's really hard to split the three matches that I think you and I both agree on. The Soul of PWA title match, Mick Moretti defended his title against Robbie Eagles in an absolute cracker. Mate, what did you think of it?
I mean, these two guys just know each other so well, and they have such great chemistry together. The place was nuts for Robbie returning to his home promotion after nearly, a year away from the PWA ring.
Yeah, it's been a fun one.
Yeah, I loved seeing him come out with the NJPW junior heavyweight tag belt on his shoulder. Watching him thrive in Japan has been a huge thrill for a lot of us. And he's such a credit to the industry. And alongside Moretti and others who have coached and inspired probably half the girls and guys to go out and do work internationally as well. He's a great ambassador to the region through and through, and someone who I wish continued success upon. But yeah, also taking nothing away from Moretti. He's just so talented and deserves every positive comment that gets thrown at him for his amazing character work and in-ring craft. As I said, these two know each other so well, and this match definitely showcased that big time. I thought it was a great match and an ending that protected both men.
Mm-hmm.
Would have loved to have seen one run back again in the near future and more time with a definitive finish. These guys just tore it up and they had the whole crowd invested. And I'd also love to see him already, hopefully when COVID eases up, just to go on a long extended tour of maybe Japan or the US, just to showcase what he can do, because yeah, he's one of the best we've got.
Yeah. It really is. When you look at guys like him and Brooks and South, like, it's a crime that Moretti hasn't been signed somewhere just for his, like, his personality, his like, I don't want to say his gimmick, but his just his essence, I guess, is the way to say it. Like, as soon as that music hits and he comes out, he is on, and he never stops being on. It's always that character. Whereas a lot of times you see guys slip in and out, sort of. That never happens with him. That's always that Mick Moretti is the Mick Moretti you get when he's there. I loved the psychology of him loosening the top rope so Robbie couldn't use it. That was so smart. Because I was literally going, what the fuck is he doing? Then I'm going, oh, that is so very good. I wasn't a massive fan of the sort of like the Eddie Guerrero spot, because I think it's been done a lot nowadays. I love the finish. Wasn't so much like, I love the finish, but I wish they hadn't have done that. And then after the break, did what they did with the tag match, because it was the same sort of finish in that. Aside from that, like you said, it was an amazing match. It's definitely one that I think everyone that saw that match wants to see run back again. And maybe a definitive winner. Maybe you give us more questions so we go to a third match. Anytime you get to see those two in the ring together is always going to be amazing. And really putting some good stuff into that. It's not a new title, but it basically is a new title, the Soul of PWA. I'd like to see stuff like Mick Moretti exclusively like defending it against guys like a Robbie Eagles, guys that have got that pedigree in PWA. So it's basically like a like in-house title, if that makes sense. So you don't see interstaters come over to try and take it away. It's always like, I want to be the soul of PWA. I've been here since day dot. That sort of a deal. So like, even if it's like other members of Nation, like Bonza and that coming after it, that's the sort of stuff I would really like to see with that title.
Yeah, and look, I think Moretti winning was the right choice as well. Robbie's had such a hot run the last couple of years internationally and in Australia. So for Moretti to get that win, I think was very important for him as well. And he outsmarted Robbie, let's be honest. Like, yeah, it was a great match, but Moretti was ahead of him and he got the victory. Yeah,
it also shows how good Moretti is when he can go over in that match and there's not a hell of a lot of outrage about it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, yeah, he won that match because he's Mick Moretti. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of guys that could beat Robbie and you'd be like, oh, I didn't see that coming. It was Robbie Eagles. How do you do that? But with Mick, it's like, yeah, I could see Mick beating a Robbie Eagles because he's that good.
Yeah, they know each other so well.
That is it for the first half of the card for this show. We're going to go to a quick ad, a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to round up the rest of the card right here at Making Chicken Salad. See, I nearly said Russell Radio Australia because that's how I normally thread ads, but I'm not doing that today. Back after this.
This is the Bro Day Pod. I feel like a crocodile has like the bite force and like the rip and tear, but I feel like a shark and way too much teeth, man. Wait, way too many teeth. Too much teeth. Yeah. Too many teeth. Like just bite, just tear flesh out of it. If it's a great white as well, I feel like a shark's got it.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
If I'm in there, I could choke out a shark.
Oh my God. Oh, shit. What is this?
You turn into a triple
threat. Is that
all
this podcast is? This podcast is just to prove, just for you to convince the world that you can fight every animal. Oh, I'm so heated now.
Shut up. It's a triple threat.
Who's taking the pin? If it's a triple threat?
I'll be the crocodile first. And then
it's elimination. It's an elimination. You're taking them both out. Nah, bro. This came out of nowhere. It came out of nowhere. Dead set. At any point, all you want to do is prove you can fight animals. Go to the next one. Go to the next one.
Okay. Follow Bro Day No Plan B podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, or anywhere you get your podcasts. We are back with Making Chicken Salad again here with Steve from Going Over Wrestling on Instagram. Do give them a follow. Do some great stuff covering wrestling, not just in Australia, but all around the world. Just as we come back from a break, so did PWA, and they started it off with a three-way tag match, I think is the way you describe it. Bad Bitch Nation defeating Juan Direction and Back Pain. Oh, sorry, it's a four-way. Yep. Bad Bitch Nation defeating Juan Direction, Back Pain, and Deems and Braxton. I think that made them the number one contenders for the tag titles. Yeah. So that was, it was out of nowhere seeing Deems and Braxton together. Like, Braxton is going to be one of those guys that we talk about a lot over the next couple of years. He has got so much talent, and I think this match sort of showed glimpses of it. Personally, I've always, since they debuted, I love Back Pain. I love them as a tag team. I think it's such a good idea to put those two guys together, and they sort of fit really, really well, especially with Jimbo Jesse, that they really just work together as a unit. We all know Bad Bitch Nation, Bonza and Kingsley have their stuff down. But Juan Direction coming out with a new Juan, with Colt Cabana, who was visiting the shores. I mean, we all knew he was in town and we all knew he was at the show. I don't know. We expected him to come out to that. But what did you think of the match, mate, anyway?
Yeah, it was a fairly chaotic match. a lot going on, as expected when you've got four tag teams in a tornado style match. It's cool to see Colt Cabana come out with One Direction. That was a bit of fun. I wasn't sure what capacity he would be in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone in attendance knew he would be at the show in some form or other. But it felt like this match was over really quick. I don't know. I was taking some notes, and next thing I know, Bad Bitch Nation are walking to the back after picking up the win. Yeah, it was a good match with some nice spots. But yeah, I always find these types of matches to be a bit messy, especially when you've got four tag teams and a lot going on in all sorts of spots of the ring. They all have a really good chemistry, and you've got some great wrestlers in this match, obviously. But yeah, I think Bad Bitch Nation, Jack Bonzer and Kingsley picking up the win. Yeah, we're going to see good things from them in the future.
Just like I said, I didn't like the finish for Eagles and Moretti. I loved the finish for this one because I thought it was just well, it was well planned. It was well, the way that Bonzer hit the small package. And it was because they were setting up for that finisher where Braxton does something and then Deans comes off the ropes. So while Deans was on the ropes, Kingsley grabs him so he couldn't stop the pinfall at all. And I love when a person can actually get a really good small package. Like you see a lot of them which are just horrendously put together. Bonzer really did lock that in really, really well. And that's I love that finish just because it was thought out. I love a well thought out finish like that. So that to me sold the match for me. Just the way that the psychology for that sold that match for me.
Yeah.
After that, we had Big Brother Billy Preston defeating Donnie Mako. I told you off air in the break, I never knew that Donnie Mako was much of a drug guy until this show. And apparently he likes a bit of the old nose beers.
Lots of drugs.
lots of drugs. Billy Preston, I love the gimmick. I know that some people don't like a lot of that stuff. I just, because it breaks up a show, I like a guy that will do that, and that he seems to really love that role that he's in, which is good as well. Like PWA have those guys, like they've got Big Fudge and Billy and, well, the Prefix when they're around, and Conco. They've got those guys that they can put in that spot where, like, we need the mood lightened a bit. You guys can still wrestle your asses off, but you can also put that little bit of entertainment into it. They did the classic Coke spot, which I think we've seen anytime there's someone with that sort of thing that happens. And it was well sold by Billy, I thought. I really enjoyed this match.
Yeah. As I said to you earlier, comedy stuff in wrestling isn't really my thing. I'm not going to go into like a big Jim Cornette style rant here or anything. But I can appreciate comedy wrestling when it's done right. And I'm not going to rag on these guys because I think both of these men are extremely talented and can actually go pretty well in the ring, yeah. Even without the comedy stuff. The spots with the joint and the bong and then leading up to the hash brownies and then, of course, the talcum powder. I'll admit, it was different. And I haven't really seen anything like that before. In terms of I don't know if you call it a filler match leading up towards the main event, but I think it was a bit of a lighthearted fun and, yeah, that wasn't meant to be taken too seriously. But, yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes. And, yeah, and that talcum powder was going to remain on that mat for the next couple of days.
Yeah. Well, at least it might have maybe made the place smell nice. Because some of those mats cannot smell that great, so maybe that freshened it up a bit for them.
Maybe even make some wrestlers power up and go even further.
There you go. And that's the one thing, like, he sold that so well. Like the eyes and then just the quick it was, yeah. I like, like you said, when comedy's done well and done right, it's good. And you can tell that these guys aren't just doing it because they can't wrestle. They're doing it because I like doing the comedy and they can also wrestle their asses off, which is always a bonus. after that, we had a Lucci promo spot with a fake Matt Rogers. Well, I hope it was a fake Matt Rogers. Well, the real one came out, so it definitely was. But I think I put a tweet up halfway through. I said, wow, COVID was such a bitch to Matt. Good, look at him. Setting up logical progression into them having a cage match at the next show. this thing's been going on for a while now, and I think it's been actually a quite well told story between the two of the guys. What did you think, mate?
Yeah, the talcum powder hadn't even settled on the ring mat yet before we got this straight into it. I just wanted to get to the main event at this point, but I'm not really sure where this feud is going, but hopefully they can have a decent payoff match in the steel cage next month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Liebird, Lucci doesn't do much for me. And Matt Rogers, I think, I don't know. Yeah, let's see where it goes. But yeah, I was a bit bored during this segment, I think because maybe it was when I was watching it. I don't know, but yeah. I'm thinking these two will have a really good payoff eventually, and it has been told well so far. But I think this just didn't do what it was intended to do for me personally.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. I like Lucci. I like the way that he's sort of slowly morphed his character into this sort of sneaky, like sneaks in to get a win, get out, like try to avoid as much damage as possible. And the way he's been doing it with like Matt Rogers, just hunting him down progressively over the nights and never really getting his hands on him. The fact that they're going through this steel cage means that he can't get away. So it's sort of like that good payoff. And like, I like Matt Rogers, but I kind of really want Lucci to go over in this, because that gives him another bigger heel that's just beaten a big baby face. Well, I mean, big in the actual sense of the word, he's massive, but it's beaten a bigger baby face. It's sort of like, it gives Ricky another guy to go after. And also like Mick Moretti, because they've got a bit of a thing too, Lucci and Moretti, over the premiership, I think it was. So that's another thing that they can do. They can spear off, because he's been there for a long time as well. Going back to what I said about the solo PWA title, that's the way I'd like that to be, that sort of thing. So I think there's so much they can do from here, and it's going to be exciting to see what they do moving forward with these guys.
Yeah, look, you're right. They do need a strong heel. And look, let's face it, Moretti, everyone loves Moretti. but yeah, I guess I haven't seen much of Lucci yet. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more from him, and I'm going to be tuning into that cage match next month.
Definitely. After that, we had our main event of the evening. It was a rematch from the Wrestling Observer. Was it 4.5 stars? I think it got from our old Uncle Dave, if you put stock into the old star ratings. Yeah, Velocities and Aussie Open. Aussie Open are, without a doubt, one of the best tag teams in the world, period. Signed, unsigned, yet to be born, been born a long time ago. They are just the combination of those two guys. They're so good. I want to see them everywhere. I want to see them. There's so many matchups around the world I can see those two guys in. And the Velocities are the same. The Velocities are that true underneath babyface, like underdog tag team that you just can't help but feel for. And the mix of these two teams, they just seem to make magic when they get in the ring together.
Yeah, look, totally agree with you. I thought it was an outstanding match, and definitely already a match of the year contender. This was as good as any tag team match I've seen in the past couple of years, I'll be honest with you. Whether it's AEW, New Japan, WWE, or any other promotion for that matter. Yeah, I loved everything about this main event, and it made me completely forget about the downfalls of the show. But there were many. But yeah, that shooting star DDT from Paris de Silva is a thing of beauty, and it's one of my favorite moves in wrestling. yeah, I was on the edge of my seat throughout this entire thing, and it was just so unpredictable as well with so many of the near falls. It did get drawn out quite a bit towards the end. Yeah. And if you haven't seen this match, though, definitely go out of your way to watch this. Seriously great. Also, Aussie Open looked great, by the way. They look like a real world-class tag team that could make it in any promotion, big or small. I think their time with Ospreay and the United Empire has definitely done wonders for them as well, including the travel and the experiences they've had wrestling elsewhere. And as for the Velocities, yeah, so exciting to watch. They have some incredible chemistry together. And that high-flying, innovative style that reminds me of Paul London and Brian Kendrick. Very exciting team, and I can't wait to see more of them.
You know what I loved about this match is, like, going in, I could see both eventualities happening. Like, I could see that velocities have been together for a fair while now. So if they maybe behind the scenes felt like they wanted to go their separate ways and try singles for a while, I could see that happening. But also, like, in your heart, you wanted them to beat Aussie Open. You knew it was something you wanted to see. But also, you're like, can you see Aussie Open losing a match? That's what I loved about this, is because it was one of those matches where on the surface of it, you might go, oh yeah, Velocities get their win back. But then you think about it, like, but what if they didn't? They might not. They, like, Paris and Jude might decide that they want to be singles for a while and have that. Like, it was that little thing in the back of my mind where I wasn't sure going into this match who was going to win it, which is a lot of times rare in pro wrestling nowadays. Nowadays, you could pretty much, if you've watched the product that you're watching, like the promotion you're watching, you can pretty much guess with a fair probability who's going to win most of these matches on these cards. But with that one coming into it, I was just like, I don't know. I really don't know. And again, they put on such a good show. They put on such a good... It's like, I talked before about how big Mark Davis is and Ricky South is. Kyle Fletcher is a monster and nobody really realizes it because he's just lean. He's lean, but he's just massive. He's a massive dude.
His kicks and his ability to jump up to the top rope and just smack you in the head with his foot. Yeah. I felt these two teams just have such great chemistry together. Yeah. I was watching in awe. Is this their second or third match together? Is this part of the trilogy?
I don't... Have they faced each other before that first one where they...
Yeah, I think they have a while back.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I think Aussie Open picked up the first one. So this may lead to a third rubber match. So we'll see.
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone would be... I think I tweeted, so what is the deal here? Are they just going to... Once a year, get together so they can be match of the year, then just not another match for the rest of the year. Next year, we want a match of the year again. I'll put those guys together again. I haven't seen it yet. Do you know if they've actually, Dave's actually watched this one to see what he says? I don't know if he has yet.
I don't think so. I haven't seen anything yet, but I'm looking forward to his rating. That's for sure.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see what he's done as opposed to the first one. Like you said, I think it drew out a little bit long towards the end there, where it's sort of like, I'm like, okay, how much more stuff can you hit each other with? I don't think there's anything left you can do anymore, unless you want to go and start grabbing weapons. I don't know what much else you could do to each other to try and beat it. I think personally, I would have ended it, and I told you this off air, I would have ended it with that shooting star DDT, because as good as if the finisher was, with that combo sling blade move off the top, I don't think that got anywhere near the reaction that the DDT got. But aside from that, like, it was unbelievable. It was such a good match. I think overall, when I look at the card, I think what they did is they've gone, okay, we've got amazing match with Ricky and Adam. We've got an amazing match with Mick and Robbie. And we're going to have an amazing match with this main event. Everything in between, let's tell stories going forward. Because that way we're progressing our show, we're progressing our storylines, but we're also giving them these three matches that they are going to love. And I think that was really well done from PWA. What was your thoughts on the card overall, mate?
I thought it was solid overall. As you said, three brilliant matches, one at the start, one in the middle, and one at the end. And yeah, everything else was potential and storytelling moving forward. I'm looking forward to seeing the next show. And yeah, just really go out of your way to watch this show, even if it's just for those three matches, specifically specifically the main event, because you're not really going to see much better tag team wrestling in the world, let alone Australia, than those two teams. And yeah, they are one of a kind, that's for sure.
And also the name I was forgetting when I was talking about before with Rob Kiedis, Sam Osborne, that was a guy that they were really building to be a big heel. And I know that they've got a massive roster and it's so very deep, but losing him is still a big loss for PWA. And it's going to be interesting to see who they move into that spot, whether it is like a Lucci or someone like that to move into that spot that they'd sort of created for Sam Osborne. Like, they gave him the win over Jessica Troy for that PWA title. It's going to be interesting going forward, the guys that decide that they're going to step up in PWA, whether it's like, whether they've already decided that like Carter Deans is going to be that guy. And so they're going to do that sort of thing, or like, there's so much depth in between them and also Nui Pro. Like, they don't have to go out of the state to find guys. It's like, throw a rock and you'll hit someone that could main event next month sort of deal. So there's so much future in the PWA roster, and going forward for that next show in February, I can't remember what the date is, but the only match so far that's been announced is the cage match with Lucci. And I think maybe Unsocial Jordan and Jess will have their match as well there for the number one contendership. So that'll be good as well. Other than that, you and I both, you on your Instagram and also me on the WRA Twitter, that's the word for social media I was looking for. We asked for people's reviews and opinions on them. So I'll go through yours first, mate. Mick Robson, 316, said, objectively, Velocities versus Aussie Open was probably the best match, but I loved Moretti and Eagles. Ricky and Brooksy were excellent too. And Big Brother Billy versus Mako was a riot. We were truly spoiled with this show. I can't really disagree with that one. Miss Havoc also said Moretti versus Eagles was absolute fire, but the tag match had me on the edge of my seat the whole time. And Wrestling with Joel, I think that's Joel Southgate, if I'm correct. The soul of PWA match definitely surprised me. I honestly thought it was match of the night. The entire card was stacked, very hard to pick the best. So there's, all very fair comments, I think. Moving on to the WrestleWide Australia Twitter. Great show. Nick, I knew I was going to get this name wrong. Majovsky. Majovski. There we go, mate. I'm sorry. I probably butchered it, and I very much apologize. He wrote, great show. Some teething issues with audio sync and stuff still stream-wise and camera work. Wrestling-wise, though, it was a solid show. I can't disagree there. John L. Crossfire also said, I know it's only January, but that tag title match is definitely match of the year just thus far. Well, it's not hard to argue that one. And little Tony Stellino said, banger of a card and show. Why aren't they signed? That's a very good question. And I think it was also one that Colt Cabana was asking at the end of that show, because he put some stuff on his Twitter and shared it around. I think he shared the GIF of the Shooting Star DDT and that sort of deal. So, I mean, I'm just glad that someone like him could see it and could get that word out, so more people could see that sort of product, because I want, a lot of these guys deserve to be signed. It's just a matter of time and a matter of the world opening up again, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be whispering into TK's ear, maybe, like, you should have seen this incredible 5-star tag team match in Australia. And as a wrestling fan, I'm sure he would want to watch that as well, as would anyone. But the talent we have is just incredible. And it's a shame that the whole world isn't aware of the potential. But, yeah, it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah. If they keep putting on shows like this, and MCW did with Worlds Collide, and obviously the shirt you're wearing right now, Renegades of Wrestling, plan on doing sort of stuff like that coming up this year as well. It's on the up. The only thing that's stopping us right now is the dreaded C-bomb. And yep. That's the only thing really stopping us right now from just... I know we've probably been saying this for 3 years now. Australian wrestling is just ready to burst, and we just want to see it happening. we've had a lot of stuff against us at the moment that had nothing to do with, like, nothing we could control at all. But as soon as the world opened, when the world opened up slightly for a little while, said, hey, everything is cool. And now it's sort of, we're sort of slowly closing back in on us again. Hopefully we get over this hump really, really soon and we can all get back to just seeing shows around the country again. And it's something that I really do hope happens in the near future, to be honest with you, because I know just from the dealings I have with guys, like wrestlers around the country, it's got to be like taxing mentally that sort of like, okay, go now, come back. No, go out and I come back. It's just the stop and start thing. It's putting some of the guys, it's probably saving years on their career. But with some of them, it's just like they just want to get out there and prove and show what they've been doing for the last, like train wise, showing what they've been doing in training for the last however long and just not being able to. That's got to be very frustrating. But let's just hope we get over this really soon and we can all get back to doing what we all love to do and going to shows and watching shows and being in shows.
Mm. And you have to admire the people that are still committing to their character and coming up with promos and merchandise and just keep driving and going, like your Edward Dusks of the world and PCW and DMDU. Yeah, there's just so many great up-and-coming talents that we haven't even seen yet on a bigger platform in Australia. And I think 2022 going forward is going to be one of those years where we're going to see new names pop up in PWA, MCW, Renegades, EPW. And hopefully once we can travel a bit more, yeah, you're going to see a bit of cross promotion and just talent going over and impressing people all over the country.
Yeah, there's also, like, we talk about all the depth in PWA. There's also guys like PCW that have so many young guys at the moment that are really, really good that people haven't really seen at the moment. And just to see them getting ready to come up and show what they can do, that's exciting if you're a wrestling fan, if you're an Australian wrestling fan especially. Mate, thank you so very much for coming on the show. For people that want to follow everything you're doing at Going Over Wrestling, how can they do that, mate?
Yep, so I'm on Instagram at Going Over Wrestling. I have a personal Twitter account as well at StevieJ_88. Where I pretty much just post about wrestling the whole time. But yeah, give my Instagram a follow. I post Australian stuff, international stuff. Keep up to date with the latest news and updates. And yeah, really appreciate you having me on, Todd.
Thanks. No, it's an absolute pleasure, man. I definitely have you on again real soon. If you haven't already, guys, make sure you subscribe to WrestleRate Australia. You can do it on Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you get your podcast from, we're there. Also, if you are on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and review. Helps us get inside more ears, spread the word and share the word about Australian wrestling like we do every week here at Wrestle Radio Australia. No real way to support us, but what we do have is on Redbubble, we have Wrestle Radio Australia t-shirts. All the proceeds from those go to Gotcha for Life and Beyond Blue, which is two charities that we really do support and love here at Wrestle Radio Australia. If you know anything about the show, you know that mental health has affected the show and affects so many people around the world, around the country, around the world, that we just want to do our part to try and help in any way we can. So our little bit is by selling our merch and anything we make from that, we give to those charities. So there is that. Socials, follow us on Wrestle Radio AU on Instagram and on Twitter. There we go. I'm really good at this. You can tell. It's been a while. Also on Facebook at Wrestle Radio Australia. Until I think we're coming back on Sunday, Monday. I think Lachlan is back off the bench. So possibly Monday you will see Wrestle Radio Australia or Making Chicken Salad, where him and I will probably argue over Nazi names and stuff like that going forward. Who knows? But until then, I'm Todd Eastman. Thank you so much for joining me, Steve, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.